Good afternoon. I'm very happy to be here, and thank you to the Men's Health Caucus. So I'm going to be talking today about social support and its impact on treatment choice for men with prostate cancer. How do you move it forward? Okay, I have no financial disclosures. So I'm just going to give you a quick brief overview of what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to give you a little 101 on prostate cancer if you're not familiar, talk about our research question, our study population, the methods we used, how we analyzed our data, a little bit of what we found, and then the limitations of our study. So essentially, I'm not sure what you know about prostate cancer. It is the most commonly diagnosed cancer among men in the United States. One of six men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in his lifetime. There are about 240,000 men who will be diagnosed with prostate cancer this year in the United States. About 34,000 men will die of prostate cancer this year. It is estimated there are about 2.3 million American men living with prostate cancer right now. And overall, prostate cancer represents 30% of all cancer in men. So the good news about prostate cancer is that if it is caught early, there is a 100% five-year survival rate. And there are a lot of different factors that are looked at when physicians and patients discuss prostate cancer treatment. The two most common ones for early stage prostate cancer are surgery or radiation therapy. And what physicians look at with their patients are their overall health, if they have additional comorbidities that might affect their treatment status. They look at their tumor risk using D'Amico risk score, which essentially looks at how aggressive their tumor is. And they also look at what their life expectancy is. You really don't want to do surgery or radiation therapy on someone who's 90 years old and who may be dead of a heart attack in 6 months. So research shows that social support is linked to improved quality of health and life, better coping and behavioral skills in cancer patients. Social support is seen as a measure of network size, the number of individuals assisting cancer patients, and marital status. So marital status has been associated with improved outcomes in men with prostate cancer, improved mental health, and many other areas. But the issue of the impact on social support on actual treatment decision-making has really not yet been explored in men with prostate cancer. So our study population is composed of men enrolled in the IMPACT program. The IMPACT program is California's free prostate cancer treatment program for low-income uninsured men. It's funded by the California Department of Health and administered by the UCLA Department of Urology. So men enrolled in the program are California residents. They are 200% of the federal poverty level. They're uninsured or underinsured. And they have to have biopsy-proven prostate cancer to be enrolled in the program. The program approach is one of individual patient guidance by nurse case managers. Everything is done telephonically. And the goal of the program really is to empower men to be active participants in their treatment. The program provides care coordination, health education, and counseling for the man and his partner. I have to say the population is very unique. 91% of the men enrolled are under 65, and this is primarily due to the fact that the men have to be uninsured, and typically at the age of 65 they become eligible for Medicare, but that doesn't always happen. The average age of men when they are diagnosed is 60. This is significantly different than nationally, which is 67 years of age at time of diagnosis. Also, men in the program are diagnosed with much more advanced disease. 20% of the men in our program are diagnosed with metastatic prostate cancer. Nationally, the average is 4% for metastatic prostate cancer. So, we reviewed 1,956 medical records to look at to determine age, race, education level, household income, BMI, comorbidities at diagnosis, their tumor characteristics, Gleason score, clinical stage, and their risk score. their partnership status and the extent of social support and their type of primary treatment. So men with insufficient data, metastatic disease, or who were choosing active surveillance were excluded from the study. The final sample of men was 418. So at enrollment in the IMPACT program, men are asked to identify individuals who will help support them through their treatment. This allows the clinical team to communicate with them if the men are unavailable or too ill to discuss their own treatment. So we included in this study individuals who help facilitate care for these men in at least two different occasions. And by facilitating treatment, we're talking about participating in the education, helping them with medication management, attending clinic visits with the patient, attending laboratory appointments, or helping the patients with coping with their prostate cancer diagnosis. So social support was dichotomized into less than two or greater than two persons. And partners were defined as married and living together or in a significant relationship and not living together. So first, we compared clinical and demographic characteristics across the sample and conducted chi-squared and Fisher's exact test for categorical variables and then did two sample t-tests. So if you look, the table is divided into social support and then partner. So men with two or more individuals in their social network were more likely to be older, Hispanic, have less than a high school education, have a median income greater than $1,500 per month, have high D'Amico risk, and be partnered. Similarly, partnered men were more likely to be Hispanic, have less than a high school education, have incomes less than or equal to $1,500 per month, and have two or more individuals in their support system. Because receipt of treatment can be clustered on the treating physician, we generated three mixed effects logistic regression models. So in these models, treatment type was the dependent variable. We were looking at the probability and relative risk of a man undergoing surgery as his primary treatment. So model one included his partnership status, and then model two included his social support. So for both model one and model two, men who were morbidly obese, high school graduates, had high-risk disease, had a lower probability of having surgery than men of normal weight who were non-high school graduates or had low-risk disease. When included in the model individually, social support or partnership status were not significantly statistically significant. So in model three, we included both partnership status and the number of their social support system. So those who were morbidly obese, high school graduates, and had high-risk disease had lower probability of having surgery. However, when we included social support and partnership status as an interaction term, we discovered that partner men with no additional support had a slightly higher probability of undergoing surgery than unpartnered men with fewer than two people in their support network. So unexpectedly, we found that partnership status and the number of support members didn't have a parallel impact. Partner men with fewer than two support members were more likely to have surgery than those with two or more support members. Now, this could be related to the fact that radiation therapy averages 40 or more days. It's daily treatment, so there's definitely more support needed. You have transportation issues, et cetera, so you may need to have more support in order to accomplish that treatment. Also, men with partners may benefit just from the fact that they do have a partner. The partner may be able to assist in facilitating care post-surgery, which requires cleaning and changing of catheters, sometimes dealing with changing diapers because of incontinence issues, and a lot of very intimate things post-surgery. They also may have something more to live with. I'm married, I have a partner, I'm going to undergo a more aggressive form of treatment because I want to be there for them. And they also may have the partner playing a more important role in the decision making. They may have a more active voice in what's being said, saying, I want you to have the more aggressive treatment, I want you to be around, and so do this. Although men with a partner may be more willing to undergo surgery, having more than three or more individuals in the support network actually may make the man with prostate cancer more passive in his decision-making. He may take that decision out of his hands and put it in the hands of those who are acting as his support network. And it is possible that they're raising fewer questions with their physicians, they're being less assertive in making their point of view known, and they may actually be excluded from the actual decision-making process. They may be leaving this to their support group. Therefore, they're not getting more aggressive treatment. They're going for something along the lines of radiation therapy. The quality of social support may influence the type of treatment received more than the partnership status or the number of people in the gentleman's support network. What we're seeing is that treatment decisions are not random. So we do have some limitations in this study. When we obtained partnership status, it was, and the extent of their support network, it comes from the impact records, and it may not be a very complete record of those individuals assisting them. They're very crude proxies for their social support. In future studies, we really need to include instruments that actually measure the structure, functionality, and quality of their support system. And also, impact men are a unique cohort. They're low income. They have poor access to non-prostate cancer-related treatment. Impact only takes care of prostate cancer treatment. We cannot provide care for anything else that's wrong with them unless it directly affects their treatment. And also, the nurse case manager may be playing a role in this and influencing their support network or their partner. And also, we had a very, very small sample size of only 418 men. So we definitely want to look at this study down the line and see if anything changes. And I just want to thank you again for this opportunity. If you would like more information on the IMPACT program, or see any of the other publications that we have done on this population, please feel free to go to our website. They're all listed there. Thank you.